Hey everyone, welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad that you're here this morning. My name is Caleb. I am one of your worship pastors. Thank you so much for carving out time to hang out with us today. You are a part of our family, and we know that there are so many of you, not just locally, but across the country, across the world, who make this a part of your spiritual rhythm, your weekly rhythm. Thank you so much for making it a priority. There's still plenty of time to invite someone into worship with you. Our pastor has an incredible message today. He's speaking about the family of God out of Acts 2. You don't want to miss it. So if there's someone you've been praying for, or if God is laying someone on your heart to invite into worship, text them, send them the link, however you're watching it, whether it's through our online platform or through YouTube. Go ahead and text that person. They have plenty of time to jump in and join us for worship. Michael Neal is leading worship for us today. We're going to have an incredible day of music, prayer, baptisms, scripture reading, getting into the Word of God. We're so glad that you carved out time to be here for it. And if you want to know more about our church, you can text the word GUIDE to 74788 to keep up with what's going on here at Prestonwood. It's almost time for worship. Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Good morning, everybody. Come on, stand together. Let's lift a song to the Lord today. He is worthy of our praise. We worship you, Lord.
No other king commands our full attention. No other names above all other names. No other thrones over every nation. No other God deserves our highest praise.
Yeah.
No other death could buy our sweet redemption. No other blood could wash away our shame. No other cross could lead to rest.
Yeah.
first thing of my Redeemer, how he took on flesh for me, breathing in my human struggle as his heart began to beat. Heaven's promise wrapped in wonder, he is God and he is man. All his glory, all his splendor, this is Calvary's land. Sing it together. I will sing of my Redeemer triumphing the wilderness, overcoming hell's temptation from beginning to the end. Ever holy, ever spotless, my hope of righteousness. There will never be another. This is Calvary's land. Praise be to him who reigns, high and exalted. Praise to him above every throne, the sing of my Redeemer, how he took the cross for me.
Thank you, Lord.
With the whole world on his shoulder, bearing wounds of victory.
Sin is conquered, shame defeated. Our deliverance and our freedom, this is Calvary's land. Praise be to him who reigns, high and exalted. Praise to him above every throne, the only one worthy forever to stand. Forever to stand.
house of the Lord. His name is the one we praise and lift up and worship today. We're so glad that you're here. Before we continue in our time of worship, why don't you find somebody you haven't met, introduce yourself, welcome them today. We're really glad you're here.
Church family, good morning. As you're being seated, we're excited for these four that are coming to be baptized today. This is Charles Buckner.
This is Haley Spence.
Charles, Haley, because of your testimony of faith in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you, our brother and our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two more young ladies coming. Right here, sweetheart. Come here, Lauren. This is Lauren Rahimizadeh.
This is Baylor Payne.
Lauren, Baylor, because of your testimony of faith in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and in obedience to his command, it's our privilege to baptize you, our sisters, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone. Thank you for entering in the worship. And when we worship him, when we lift him up, we get lifted up. And so his presence is real. And as we are worshiping, I was reminding myself to tell you that tonight we are going to have an evening of worship. How many of you remember Sunday night church? All right. Well, we're going to have church tonight, and it's going to be worship and prayer. And our music team, worship team, is leading us in a time, and I really believe as a church and as a community, we need prayer. We need revival. And so we're gathering together, and what time is that? It's 6:30. It's not on that. There it is, 6 o'clock. It is on there. 6 o'clock tonight, I just show up. I kind of live up here, as a matter of fact, and love it. But 6 o'clock tonight. And it's going to be a great experience. So it's in the Student Ministry Building, which is right down Main Street, the end of the big hall. And we look forward to seeing you then. As you can tell, we still have storm damage. And we are repairing the building. And as a matter of fact, we actually had a pipe get damaged somehow. And there's another leak. We've got water in the walls and around the building. And we're getting all that cleaned up. Obviously getting the side of the building repaired, and it's a big expense. You see, even around the stained glass windows, if you came in the front of the building, there's a leakage and damage on the top of the building there. So I said, leave those scaffolds up as long as you need it. It reminds every one of us to participate in the Storm Damage Relief Fund. And there are envelopes in the pews if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way. And do a check or cash, or online, obviously, all the ways that you normally give. I think that fund is up to about $400,000 now, so we'll keep going. The cost is going to be between $2.5 and $3 million. That's our deductible. We think it's going to cost about $5 million to repair the building. So it's a lot of damage, but you know what? We're doing just fine, and we're worshiping together. We're back together, and we'll get the church repaired the building. I first heard Mike Buster's name. I thought, what an unusual name, Buster. But I heard that name first from my big brother, Bob Graham, my hero in life and ministry. He was pastor of the Field Street Baptist Church in Cleburne, Texas for 34 years, before that other churches, but 34 years there. And one day we were talking. I was down in West Palm Beach at the time, and he was telling me about this fantastic new student pastor he had, and his name was Mike Buster. I just sort of filed that away when I heard it, and because he was telling me such great things about his organizational abilities, and though he was young in his early 20s, a young bride, probably about 20, 21 at the time, they were there with my brother and the church and doing such a great job. Mike went on, finished his seminary, and went on to Putnam City Baptist Church and other churches in Oklahoma, and one other church in Oklahoma, and was serving there well when we needed a youth pastor in West Palm Beach. This was about 1987, I presume. And so Mike Buster's name popped back into my head, and I called Mike. I called my brother first just to make sure, and he said, absolutely, Mike's awesome. And so we ended up calling Mike as our student pastor down in West Palm. And he was with us there 2 years. And lo and behold, Prestonwood called us to be pastor here. Deb and I came here in 1989. And there were two people on our staff that I wanted to bring here to be a part of our team. One was David McKinley, Dr. McKinley, who joined us and served and then came back and served again. People say, David McKinley, he's such a great man. Well, he left me twice here at... He's pastor now of a great church in Augusta, Georgia. Love David McKinley, lifelong friend. And the other person was Mike Buster. And we brought Mike here to do young marrieds initially, and he did great. Just he had done great in our youth ministry down in Florida. Because I've always seen in him, first of all, the heart for the church and ministry, and just his ability to get things done, his passion and compassion for people who need Jesus. A wonderful witness, always about making sure people get to hear the gospel. And in about a couple of years after his tenure here, we reorganized and we created a new position called executive pastor. And that was to be responsible for the administration of the church, its program, and its personnel. To be my associate, to be my wingman, if you will, in all things Prestonwood. And so for these 35 years, Mike has served with distinction as our pastor and then executive pastor. And he has given us a letter of retirement. Zig always used to say, you don't retire, you just refire. And so in this season of life, Mike and Joni are going to step into a new calling and to serve the Lord. I wanted to bring them up with thanksgiving in our hearts to celebrate 35 years of ministry of Mike and Joni Buster at Prestonwood. Come on up, Mike, Joni. Step on up here. And, you know, when the, go ahead. When the story of Prestonwood is written, and much of it has been written these past 35 years, but from leading the staff and ministry, yeah, go ahead and take a seat, leading the staff and its ministries, and then leading in our relocation. Mike was a huge part of the relocation. Mike's a builder. I would put him in the category of being a builder, and he knows how to get things accomplished. And one day when we were looking for a plot of ground for this church when we were going to relocate it, Mike and I were sitting on the corner of Midway and Hebron. Remember what Hebron means, face to face with God. So we came face to face with God, I think, that day, and we looked across because we couldn't find a piece of ground. We had voted as a church to relocate, but we couldn't find the right property. We knew God had it, but we just needed to find it. And so we were at that corner, and about the same time, we looked at each other and said, what's wrong with that piece of property right there? And this became the relocation and the new Prestonwood. So, again, Mike's been by my side all these years. The Prosper campus, the North campus, Mike and Joni have lived up there in Prosper for a while, and it was Mike who came to me and said, we ought to consider doing a location in Prosper. And so we did, and that's now the North campus. Prestonwood Sports Outreach, when we wanted to use sports to reach people. Mike was all on board with that, and he helped us find Joe Perry, a good friend of Joe Perry who came here. So I could go on and on just giving you events and sequences and ministries and things that God used Mike Buster to do as the executive pastor of our church. So now a new season, new opportunities, and Mike, why don't you speak to us? Tell us what is ever on your heart, what you're going to be doing next.
Well, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. All praise, glory, honor goes to Jesus. And what a privilege to be a part. What an amazing privilege to be called your executive pastor. And to see God do immeasurably in allowing us to be a part of it. We're forever grateful. Yeah, we're not going to be around here quite as much. We'll be on the North Campus with our grandchildren and got our family there, and we live there, but God's doing a great work there, and we're excited about being a part of, more a part of the North Campus. But we would just want you to know that we love Prestonwood. Not this place, not these buildings. We deeply love you, each and every one of you. And this is hard. It's not easy to know that we won't get to see you as often. But know that when we remember you, we will praise God and continue to give him all the glory. God bless you, each and every one.
Thank you, Mike and Jody. And let's pray. Let's pray together, and our ushers are going to take their place. One of the responsibilities that Mike had working with our administrative team, Alan Monk and others on that team, has been the oversight of our finances, and we're just so grateful for that. That's a huge responsibility, and so through these years. So thank you for your giving, church, and for your support. Again, there's the storm damage offering. That's over and above. Deb and I are happy to do more than our normal giving in order to help rebuild and repair our building. So we're a part of that. We also, all of us, want to be a part of the summer giving. That's just our regular giving. You look in your worship guide today. Look at all the opportunities that are there. If you are a guest, by the way, and I didn't do the guest just yet, but text the word connect to 74788. Or go to Guest Central when this service is done. We have a book for you, Courageous Parenting. And we have a voucher for you if you'd like to have lunch with us down at the buffet in the Commons. But as we give today, we give ourselves first to the Lord and then our offerings. But just look at all of the opportunities we have this summer to serve the Lord. And you are supporting this. To all of you online, welcome. We are glad that you have joined us. How we praise you, God, for your goodness, as we just sang about it, all the days of our lives, for your grace upon us, your calling, and your love for us. We thank you for Mike and Joni. Lord, how we thank you for Joni, just her great spirit, her beautiful countenance, her service and love for you, and her continued work in ministry. And we pray, oh God, for Mike as he steps into a new season of his life. We pray your blessing to be upon him with thanksgiving in our hearts for all that you have done through him, for the lives that have been changed, the people have been brought to Christ and to our church, for ministries, for buildings, for opportunities, for missions and evangelism, for the work of our staff. Thank you, Lord, for using Mike in such a great way these 35 years. And we will praise you forever with gratitude in our hearts for all that you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you.
Love you too.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 3, the prophet says this: "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and I've carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." I'm thankful for the grace and power of the Lord to walk with us and carry us. Amen.
Broken prayers all start with why. When the next step is impossible to take, remember the promise He made, 'cause He will carry you. He will carry you. It's His strength, it's His power, always bringing us through. He will carry you. The Father's heart is tender toward the ones He loves. His arms are strong and reaching down when we reach up.
Right.
When the battle feels impossible to face, remember you are help and you are safe. Your hope is fading, carry you. No matter what you face, He hears your prayer and He is there to carry you. When the fear comes calling, carry you. When the tears start falling, carry you. He's seen it all, lift up your eyes. He hears your cry, carry you. When the storms are
Amen. We sing of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. What a wonderful time of worship we have shared. And now, are you ready for our time in the Word of God? So take your Bibles and turn to the second chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 2. This is, we're coming home, the home stretch of our marriage and family series, The Way Home. Next week, I'm going to be speaking at our Faith, Freedom, and Family Service, where we will recognize the armed forces. Our 4th of July patriotic service is next Sunday morning. And I'll be preaching the last of this message series that I'm calling The Way Home for America. The Way Home for America. So let's begin praying for that service and God's word. But as we change America, we need to know that the only way we're going to change America is to change the family and the home, to see God move in families and homes. And that includes our church family. The title of this message is simply, The Family of God. The Bible says that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, who build it. That's true for the church house, and it's true for your house. I've always said that every person ought to have three homes. You ought to know that you have a heavenly home, that you're going to heaven, that you have a place reserved for you in heaven as Jesus promised. You need to know that you have a heavenly home. You need to have a family home. And God puts the solitary in families, the scripture says. And even if you're a family of one with friends around you, you can be a family together. But so often he, of course, puts husbands and wives together and families and children and grandchildren and generations. And he gives us our families. And then everybody ought to have a church home, a heavenly home, a family home, and a church home. Because if we're going to have great families, then we need to know that our faith is firmly founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Now, what is the church? This week in Dallas, there's been a lot of discouraging news regarding church and churches, pastors. People are disappointed, and I don't blame them. People are frustrated. We all are. Sometimes people want to give up on the church when we see disasters and disappointments of this magnitude. But then the question still becomes, if you're going to choose a church, if you're going to be in a church, what kind of church would you choose for yourself and your family? I would dare say the most important decision outside of your own personal family and relationship, the most important decision you can make in life has to do with your church family. What church would you call home? What is your home's spiritual home? That's the church. We say here at Prestonwood, we are a church to call home. Because we want everybody to know that above all, the church is a family, a spiritual family. It's not a business. It's not a political movement. It's not an audience or a crowd. It's not an entertainment center. It's not a building. Now, we like beautiful church buildings or any kind of building which houses the church, and I've preached in all kinds of church facilities and buildings, from the smallest to this magnificent place. But you don't have to have a building to worship, of course, and you don't have to have a building to have a church. You can have a church without a building. The church is not the church. This magnificent building is wonderful, and it's a testimony to the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the sacrifice of God's people who partnered with the Lord in building this magnificent facility. But it's not the church. Sometimes I come in here when it's empty and pray or just look around. And I can tell you, this room is not the church until you're here, until Christ is here in the presence of his people. And so we can have all kinds of places to meet. We have a beautiful new amphitheater, which is a place for prayer and worship. In fact, our men were out there a couple of Friday mornings ago, and we've got some great drone shots. Look at this magnificent place of worship and Bible study on the pond of Prestonwood, I like to call it, with our cross. You know, that cross was on the previous location at Hillcrest and Arapahoe. You can see there on the left of the screen a prayer walk that is there for prayer, and there is the Bible study going on. It's a beautiful outdoor place. So much of the ministry that Jesus had was outdoors. And it's only when the church went indoors that they got snuffed out in the dark ages. So we always need to take the message outdoors. Now, this one I brought you, that's the first wedding at the amphitheater, which happened this week. Isn't that beautiful? And Mark Matthews is leading that service outdoors. And so this place is a place for prayer. It's a place for meditation. It's a place for weddings. It's a place for Bible study. And I really want to urge you to see it and know that it's there and use it for your groups, your small groups, and whoever you would like to take there. We've had a lot of lives already changed there, people just taking friends out there and talking to them about Jesus in that beautiful setting. But you don't have to have even something as beautiful as that. My friend Johnny Moore tweeted this, or I guess he X'd it now, is what we say. But look at this. Nigerian Christians are made of steel. Islamics burned down their church and they showed up to worship in the burnt building. Praise God for those Nigerian Christians and Christians around the world who don't have buildings, they don't have facilities, they don't have what we have, but they are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. Outdoors and indoors, small buildings, big buildings. All of us together, young and old, rich and poor. We're the family of God. What we have done here at Prestonwood is believe God to do what only God could do. God has done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could have imagined, dreamed, hoped for. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All of the forces of hell cannot stop the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an ironclad promise from Jesus himself. 100%, 1,000%. Jesus said, Satan will never defeat my church because he said, I'm building it. We're not building it. We're just his partners in it. He's building his church. You know, I don't want to get in competition with Jesus building his church because he does a lot better job, obviously, than any of us can. What we have done is prayed and preached and witnessed and served and sacrificed and given. Do whatever, have done whatever it takes in order to support the work of our church. But it's all for him and it's all about him. Never about us. These buildings, both here and at Prosper, our North Campus, this place, which also houses the church in Spanish this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and other multitudinous languages that meet in small groups and smaller rooms in our building, he has us building his church with him, growing as a family. He is growing us in our marriages and our families. This is the church. We are his family. We are a community of faith and faithfulness to God. And I believe that Prestonwood Baptist Church can continue to grow and reach people like never before until Jesus comes. Why? Because we're going to keep doing what God has told us to do in his word. And there is a model for the church for all generations here in Acts chapter 2. The church was born in a prayer meeting in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Jesus gave his followers a great commandment to love God with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, to love their neighbors as themselves, and he gave us a great commission to go into all the world and make disciples. He said in Acts 1:8, after you receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that promise is fulfilled because Jesus gave it. Jesus told those disciples then, 120 of them, the apostles, along with friends and followers of Jesus, 120 of them gathered in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they waited and they prayed in unity, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the church was born, birthed that day, filled with his presence and power. The prayers went up, the Spirit came down, and the church went out and turned the world upside down. It became the family of God. On the heels of that experience, Simon Peter, once the man who denied the Lord, now declares the Lord with confidence and boldness, full of the Holy Spirit. He preaches a powerful message recorded for us in part in Acts chapter 2. At the close of that message that is just full of Jesus, it's all about the cross and the resurrection. He preaches the good news, this gospel of Christ. And at the end, he gives an invitation. He invites people to respond and to receive Christ into their lives. And on that day, when the invitation was given to all the people who had gathered from nations around the world for this Jewish festival, on that day, 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 people were born again. In one day, the church went from 125 to 3,125. Just like that, when God moved, they were born again. They were baptized, not only by the Spirit, but in water. And they became a family. God's forever family. Now, the church is described in the Bible in different ways. The church is described as the bride of Christ. That's a beautiful metaphor. The bride of Christ, Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, his bride. The church is described in the Bible as a body, like a human body functioning with all of its various parts. And in this body of Christ, Christ is the head, and we are members of this body doing the work of Christ, the body of Christ on earth. But the focus that we have in this message is the brotherhood. Peter tells us later in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to honor the brotherhood. The brotherhood is talking about the church. And of course, you could add in not only the brotherhood, but the sisterhood, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. God is our Father, Jesus our elder brother, and we are born into the family of God. We become, according to Ephesians chapter 2, the household of faith, the family of God. And the early church actually often met in homes with families and friends and neighbors. Verse 46 of chapter 2 tells us that. And then, because they were a family and because they were meeting together, the family of God was pure and powerful, not perfect, but pure and powerful and persuasive, full of praise and joy and adoration to God. And the New Testament church, in its infancy, in its beautiful birth, and its beautiful body of Christ, this church changed the world. They were uncompromising. They were unstoppable. Why? Because Jesus said, no force of hell will ever stop you when you build it my way, when you let me build the church. And so, what is that like? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, key phrase, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, that is in public places, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What is the church? What is the family of God? How did they do this? How did they turn the world upside down? How did a small band of believers change everything in the power of Christ? Well, They did it, number one, by exalting Christ. Exalting Christ. When you read the message that Simon Peter gave, I mentioned, it is full of Jesus and the gospel. The original church worshiped Jesus and witnessed of his power to save over and over again. It was and it is always and forever about Jesus. This is his church. He is Lord of life, Lord of all. And this means you and I become members of the family of God when we confess him as our Lord and Savior. The way to the Father and the Father's family is through Christ and Christ alone. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, at the close of Peter's message I mentioned, he says, they said, what should we do? They were all convicted of their sin and their need of the Savior. And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and the forgiveness of your sins. And so they repented and they believed and received the Holy Spirit and they were born again. So to be a member of the church, to be in the family of God, you're not born into the family of God by natural birth. We are born again as we become his child, his children. Now, this may be and seem obvious to most of you in this room and many of you watching right now online. It may seem obvious, but you can't overstate this truth that the family of God is only entered through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Churches are often filled with unbelievers. Unbelievers. Unsaved church members. And even unsaved pastors and preachers. The members of the family are people who make a personal decision to follow Jesus, to receive him as Savior and follow him as Lord. And there is no church for people who do not know Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're not welcome here if you're an unbeliever. We want unbelievers to come. God loves you. And because God loves you, we love you. And we want you to come and to be with us. And we want to get to know you. You can come here, but you can't be a member of the family of God, much less a local church, apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you come to church here. You attend services. You watch online. You watch on television. You may have even joined this church. You may have even been baptized. You might be in a life group. You might be a pastor. You might be a deacon. But you're not saved. Are you saved? S-A-V-E-D, saved. Do you know Jesus in your life? This is what it means to be a member of God's family. As many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. So what is the evidence? You say, well, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no, I'm not certain. Well, these things are written, God's word, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know this, and you need to know it today. This may be your last day on earth. You say, you're trying to scare me? I would if I could. This may be the last sermon you ever hear preached. This may be the last sermon I preach. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Do you know that you are saved? Are you convicted of your sin? Do you need a Savior? The church became the church, and then what happened? They were equipping and edifying Christians. That's the second thing I want you to see. Because what happened here, as you see it in verse 1, is here's the sign that you're saved. Are you ready for this? Here's the mark of a believer, the birthmark of a believer in Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread in prayers. They continued. Conversion leads to continuance. When you know Christ, you will continue in your faith. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. John was speaking about some people that were in the church and left. And he said, they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. So when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's not just a decision you make and forget about it. Yes, you begin a relationship with Christ, but then you believe and then you belong. Some people don't go to church, one man said, unless they were hatched, matched, and dispatched. Another one said, the faith that was faulty from the first fizzles at the finish. Is your faith fizzling? Do you have personal faith in Christ? The believers, you see, were gathering and growing in their faith. They devoted themselves to these things. In fact, Jesus talked about this in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. And so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. So what is the church's responsibility? It is to equip Christians to grow in their faith by teaching the apostles' doctrine. What is that? That's the Bible. They didn't have a Bible. They had the apostles' doctrine, the echoes of Jesus' words, and was in their hearts, and the Spirit of God enabled them to deliver the New Testament. Later on, the New Testament would be written. Many of these, of course, would have known the Old Testament as well, and the Bible is all about Jesus. It's the Jesus book. And so they were teaching the Bible. They were instructing and indoctrinating according to God's word. This is what we do. We preach Christ and we teach the Bible in all kinds of ways and groups. And it is all encompassing for children and students. And I'm very excited just to announce that we are rebooting Awanas in the fall. We've been doing it, but we've got a brand new plan ahead for Awanas, which is for children, scripture memory and discipleship. That's coming up on Wednesdays this fall. But it's teaching everyone. This is why we encourage you to get in a life group, a small group around the Word of God. It's why we birthed Prestonwood Christian Academy, to teach a new generation a biblical worldview. Every generation, every mom, every dad, every family is responsible for passing the faith to the next generation. If you are new here, if you are new here or new worshiping with us online, just in case you didn't know, we are a Bible-believing church. Amen? Amen. We believe this is the only book God wrote. This is it. And it has all authority, truth without any mixture of error, inerrant, infallible, unstoppable. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. And so the church is a family. Get your family, moms and dads, in the church. In addition to what you're doing with them personally in your home, thank God for Christian homes where the Bible is taught, where the scripture is shared. But get your children in church. Because do you know what's going to happen if you treat church as optional? I have a quote on that. Let's put it up there. When church becomes optional to you, it will become unnecessary to your children. If church is optional or peripheral to you, guess what's going to happen to your children and grandchildren? They will saturate church with their absence, most likely. So families, We've been doing all this talk about the family and having a great marriage, and it's been good, and how to be a parent, but this is so foundational. If you miss this, the rest of it has no real impact. Where there is no preaching and teaching of the Bible, there's no Jesus. And where there's no Jesus, there's no church. This is why churches are dying and many of them are dead. And I just pray that our church, it's part of my praying these days, in the days ahead when most of us will be gone in heaven. Now, I believe the rapture is coming. I'm looking for as the old preacher said, I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. I hope to go by air, but if I go by land, I pray the next person and any person that there will never be a preacher to stand in this pulpit that will not preach uncompromisingly the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus for generations to come. Amen. It's all about Jesus. We love to say at Prestonwood, it's all about Jesus. We do a lot of things, provide a lot of ministries, but all of it flows out of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So there is the equipping or the edifying, the building up of the saints, Christians, continuing. And then there is experiencing community. What does the church do? We exalt Christ, we declare Christ, we embrace Christ, we edify Christians, and then we experience community. See that word fellowship there? Fellowship means communion. It means partnership. It means of like mind. We share like mind, like faith, like heart as a church. We love one another. We're unified. People want to know, what is the secret of Prestonwood? I would say one of the primary reasons that God blesses this church is the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We continue steadfastly in fellowship. Now, some people think that you can't have fellowship in a big church. Well, if that's the case, then they weren't having fellowship in the New Testament church because they had 3,120 the first day, and then it says they multiplied, and then it says they became a multitude, and Bible scholars think that in the first 6 months of the church, there were somewhere between 50 and 100,000 new believers in Jerusalem and forming the church. But they had fellowship. It's wrong to say you can't have fellowship at a big church. You know, you can only know about 50 people really well. Maybe a few more if you're really gregarious. So if you go to a church with 50 people, you're going to know everybody in it. If you go to a church of 50,000 members, you're going to know 50 people in it. And you can forget about the rest of them. You just ignore the rest of them. No. But my point is you're going to have a group and you fellowship with what's right in front of you, with who is right in front of you. And we're living in a day of isolation and depression, and loneliness is a major problem. You know, loneliness is not just a mental health issue, but it's a physical health issue. I was reading an article just this week that loneliness is causing premature death equal to obesity and smoking, that it causes heart disease and dementia and strokes. Loneliness. Well, God has given us the answer to loneliness. And it's the fellowship of God's people. It's the forever friends that we have in church. People will be with you through everything. They continue steadfastly in this fellowship. Everyone needs a church family. We need to be together. When we're together, God can do great things. I love that comic strip, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and Linus was wanting to change the channel. He was watching television. No, excuse me. Linus was watching television, and Lucy comes in, you know, Lucy. And she said, change that channel right now. And he says, why should I? Just give me one good reason. And she goes, I'll give you five good reasons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He said, okay. He looked at his own hands. He said, I wonder why you guys can't get together like that. Can you imagine the impact we could make on the world if we could get together as God's church and stay together? They prayed together. They prayed together. The first church was devoted to intensive prayer, focused prayer in the name of Jesus, sincere and steadfast communion with God. And when you pray, you get what God can do. When we work without prayer, we get what we can do. But when we work with prayer, we get what God and God alone can do. I'm calling us to prayer. I want to encourage you to get together in prayer groups and your small groups. And even this fall, here at the church, we are anticipating building a wall for prayer, similar in looks to what the Western Wall in Jerusalem looks like. And we're going to put it on Main Street. And we're going to encourage people to come and bring their prayer requests. God said, I will build my house a house of prayer. And so let's be praying people. And I want to encourage you to pray. Use the amphitheater, as I mentioned, to go outside. Come to this property. And obviously, you can pray at home. But when we get together as a church, we need to be a praying church. Amen? When we sing these songs of worship, what are they? They're praise songs and they're prayers that we lift up to the Lord. So when we're worshiping, if we're worshiping from the heart, we are praying. And God does the supernatural. Great awe came upon everyone in that era. Great awe, the wonders that God was performing. And we've seen God do things that only He could do. Somebody said about a church that if you can explain it, then it's probably not God. But if you can't explain it, it's probably what God is doing. So when God's people pray and they stick together and they get into God's word, then God begins to do things that only He can do. Things that cannot be explained. Supernatural things. We have seen God do that here. We have seen the God of might and miracles work among us, restoring broken lives and homes, breaking the chains and power of addiction, setting people free from the power of sin, moving people from darkness to light. We've seen God put together marriages, the miracle of a marriage restored. We've seen God bring prodigal children home over and over again. We've seen God do these things because He's a God who can do things that we cannot do apart from Him. And when we trust Him, He transforms the world. Well, I'm rounding third and heading home, so I'll wrap this message up, but I want to close with one final thing, and that is engaging culture. Notice when we read about the church that the people looked upon them with favor. People in the community, they were experiencing community and communion with God, and as a result, people without God wanted to know what's going on here. People were amazed because it was the power of God. It was obvious to the community because love was in action. And the power of Jesus was moving. And as a result, the Lord added daily, verse 47. Every day people were coming to Christ. Later in this same book of Acts, it tells us the church multiplied. They moved from addition to multiplication. It just kept growing exponentially. And we clearly need to call one another to repentance and seek God's grace, because judgment begins at the house of the Lord. We surely need to get right with God in the church in our era and our generation. It's sad when entire congregations may lose their testimony in a community and the name of Jesus is dishonored. But Jesus said, my church, all the forces of hell will not stop it. We are to pursue holiness and godliness and Christ-likeness in our lives. And here's the thing about the church, the family. It's a forever family. We're never going to be apart, because one day we're going to heaven, home to heaven. One day Jesus is coming to take His church with Him into heaven. and there will be no more sin and no more sorrows and no more pain and no more scandals and no more shame, because we will share his glory and forever his presence. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm anchoring my soul to Christ. Preston Wood is relentlessly committed to evangelism and missions, to reach more and more people who are lost and far from God. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so do I send you. So let's go in his name, and let's grow and be the church that he has called us to be. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. Lord, may we ever be your church, Lord. May we please you and honor you in all that we do. May we exalt you, Lord Jesus. It's always and always about you. May we edify Christians and grow one another up, our families in the faith and pass to generations. May we experience community and communion with you and fellowship. And then, Lord, may we engage our community with this message of hope and life and joy. May our lives be so full of joy, so full of Jesus, that we would just spill out onto our community and around the world with the message of hope. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask that you stand with me. Everyone stand.